This is the connection, reset workshop. We're talking about how to stop some of those middle school daily schoolwork battles by building connection. So let's get into it. Now, I homeschooled my daughters. They have three very different personalities. And we went through through middle school, and it was different with each one of them. And in my head, I knew the teen years, they were coming. I'd been warned. I'd been warned since they were toddlers that these teen years were coming. You probably have too. Yeah, exactly. The dreaded teen years. And I thought, we are not having those dreaded teen years. I think that depends on my attitude. I think that depends on what I do to build connection. And so I was determined to not have the dreaded teen years. I vowed it would be different. And all through elementary school, I thought, yes, this is good. I'm building connection with my daughters. This is great. But nobody told me middle school is this bridge between elementary and the teen years, high school. And it's actually the training ground. Elementary is not really the training ground for those teen years. It's middle school. I apparently had missed the memo. So my oldest, she hit those middle school years, and I kept trucking along as if she was still in elementary. But it was like we had a speed bump. Suddenly the things that I was doing weren't working anymore. And I remember a homeschool facilitator we had, lovely lady, she made a suggestion that put my brain on the right track and made a huge difference with what happened during the rest of those middle school years. And she had simply said, hey, I think perhaps you might want to consider, she was so gracious, you might want to consider doing more, instead of like these 30-minute time blocks, doing all of your subjects every day, maybe fewer subjects, allow the kids to get longer into those subjects, study them for a longer period of time, and maybe switch up, you know, we're not just doing 30 minutes of math, but we're actually, you know, trying to accomplish something in those 30 minutes, something specific. She has no idea how that changed the trajectory of the homeschooling for my daughters. Those words started me thinking, she was a great guide, We are really privileged to have her as a facilitator. And I really hope that something I say today will also be a catalyst for you that changes the trajectory a little bit about what's going on in middle school, that gives you something to think about. Something I can pass on to make those years better, the connection stronger, so you don't have to dread what's beyond middle school. So in the next hour, I have my timer set here, 48 minutes, so we don't go over. Here's what we're going to talk about. Why your middle schooler resists, and something you might be doing that makes it worse. I have made all of these mistakes. There is no judgment here. We are just looking at stuff, figuring out what we can do different so that we can build connection. There's the connection reset framework, and that is the tool that is going to help you help your middle schooler get talking. How to handle this, like, I don't know. You know, you ask them something, they shrug. Let me know in the chat, has your kid ever done that? You ask them something and it's like, oh no. You think, did they even say anything? Has that ever happened? Yeah. Yeah, it's killed so many conversations. I used to get so frustrated. It was like this big red button. Every time I said, I don't know, I'm like, how could you not know? The 5-to-1 communication ratio that unlocks what's actually going on. And we're going to talk about 4 primary scenarios where we can use this connection reset framework so you can see what is really going on. So by the end, you're going to have a tool that you can use today to make a difference today. You don't have to like wait. In the workbook, you're going to see some prompts where you can reflect on your situation, where you can see a clear path forward for you. So anybody here reminding your kid to start school over and over, or feel like you're nagging more than you're teaching, or you feel like this fight over schoolwork day after day is stealing your relationship? Does that sound familiar to any of you? Let me know in the chat. Give me a thumbs up, a grimace face, a yes, anything in the chat. Let me know. All right. So between the ages of 11 and 14, so those middle school years, your child's brain is literally rewiring. This prefrontal cortex, the part that's responsible for planning, decision-making, impulse control, that is all under construction. They're not actually trying to make you crazy, even though some days it might feel like it. Their brain is changing. And so what worked in elementary school, if it's not working anymore, you're not doing something wrong. That is normal. They're different now. They're supposed to be different now. This is all part of their growth and development. They're on track. But let's have a look and see where you're at. So if you look in your workbook, there is a page that says where you are right now. And we're not going to go over every word in the workbook. We're going to go through some of the things, and then you can use this as a tool for reflection as you move forward. So what are you finding yourself, how are you finding yourself responding to resistance? Do you remind them repeatedly? Do you take away privileges? How about lecturing? You should be more responsible. Bribing or rewarding, getting frustrated, maybe you raise your voice, or giving up and letting it slide. Like, I can't handle this anymore. Like, let it go. So what's going on? How are you currently responding? Because it's only when we figure out what we're currently doing that we can make a change. Like when my homeschool facilitator talked to me and she revealed something and then I could make a change. Same thing here. The workshop is about stopping the daily schoolwork battles. But here's the thing, this schoolwork battle, it's not all about schoolwork. It's about disconnection. And we can't solve what we don't understand. So that's why if you checked off on the workbook there, that if you're responding to resistance with reminders or consequences or lectures, you're not figuring out what's really causing the resistance. And we're going to talk about how to figure out what's causing the resistance in a bit. Okay, there's a page here that says why middle school is different, and there are some blanks at the bottom. So in elementary school, your kid did schoolwork because you said so. You were the authority. that was the nature of the relationship as it should be during those childhood years. Now, in middle school, there's this shift. They're individuating. They're separating from you. They're forming their own identity. This is supposed to happen. So that direct instruction that worked before isn't going to work anymore. Not because they're being difficult. They are growing up, which is kind of terrifying, right? During those maybe toddler years where things were difficult and you were making every decision and it was a whole lot of work and you thought, oh, I just can't wait till they can do things for themselves. And now in the middle school years, they can do things for themselves. And maybe you're craving those days where you understood your role a bit better. And that's okay. But let's see what we're going to do next with this resistance. First of all, resistance is information. So this might be a little bit of a mindset shift. So instead of looking at resistance as like defiance and they are against you, what if instead we got curious and went, okay, so they are resisting me. We are butting heads on this. Why? What is going on? They're telling you something. Without saying, I'm overwhelmed, they're telling you they're overwhelmed by resisting. Or I don't understand, or I don't see the point. I feel managed. I need more autonomy. Or it's something else altogether. But have you ever tried solving a problem when you weren't sure what the real problem was? Let me know in the chat. Have you ever had it where, you know, somebody expected you to solve a problem. Maybe it was at work and there was a problem, but you weren't sure what the problem was, but you were still supposed to solve it somehow. Yeah, it's so hard to do that. I don't know. My mind reading abilities are seriously lacking because I could never figure that out. How do I solve a problem if I don't know what it is? Okay, I digress. So resistance is that information that we need so we can solve the problem. So that is the exciting bit. We're going to figure out how to take what they're saying while they're resisting and figure out what the root cause is so then we can do something about it. And that is where we get to the connection reset. So in your workbook, you're going to see the connection reset framework, and we are going to work through this. So this is the framework initially, and then we're going to work through a couple of scenarios. So imagine, if you will, pick a scenario in your brain as we go through this framework for the first time. Something is going on. Your kid is resisting. They don't want to do the thing. But instead of pushing them, instead of trying to manage them into doing it or punishing them, we're going to do four things. And this is a framework. So if we know what the framework is, then we can apply it no matter what the situation. We don't have to have a word for word script. We're going to use the principles here. And the framework to find out what's going on. So step one, we're going to notice out loud. And when I first started doing this, I felt a little ridiculous. I thought, good grief. Like, I am stating the obvious. How dumb is that? That's what was playing on in my mind. But I was like, okay, let me try this. So they don't want to do the thing. And you say, I notice you're really not wanting to start this right now. You know, no kidding. But you're saying this. And when you're saying this, you're validating what is happening. Like, you're just statement of fact. This is what's seems to be going on right now. And then we're going to go to step two. We're going to get curious. What's going on? And here, tone really matters. I mean, it matters in step one as well. So let's address this tone issue right away. If instead you say, I notice you're really not wanting to start this right now, it's going to feel like, wow, what script are you reading, Mom? Or sometimes what I did that was really annoying and I learned way too late not to do this. So I'm going to share it with you. So maybe you don't have to go through this. If you hear, oh, peppy, it's going to make things worse. So if you're like, I notice you're really not wanting to start this right now, they're going to be really annoyed. And then if you say, what's going on? Again, they're going to be annoyed. So there's this principle of matching them where they're at, and you have a better chance of continuing this conversation if you can match the level of tone and emotion of where they're at. So if they're sort of moping around, then come with a like tone down conversational tone. I notice you're really not wanting to start this right now. What's going on? And it's really important that that what's going on doesn't sound like you're accusing them of something, that you have an inflection at the end, what's going on, this curious tone. And that even if you're frustrated, you manage your tone so that it comes across that you actually want to know what's going on. That is super, super important. And then they may say, I don't know. Have you ever had your kids say, I don't know, when you ask them a question? You know, you're very specific. I notice you don't really want to start this right now. What's going on? I don't know. Yeah. Thank you, Shelley. You don't know. They say they don't know. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to start reflecting their words back to them and repeating them with curiosity. And it's going to prompt them to continue the conversation. Now, you don't want to do this with every conversation you have with your kid. It will get very annoying. So this needs to be strategic. You want to get to the bottom of this so you can help them fix whatever is going on and move forward. So they say, I don't know. And then you just wait. And after you've waited a bit, then you could say, don't know. And then you pause and you wait. And this is where you might have to bite your tongue, because it'll seem like forever, but it is worth the wait. And you're just going to keep that, well, I don't know. Okay. And you might need to push the conversation to another time. That's okay. But you're there with curiosity, trying to get to the root of it. Okay, so that is the connection reset framework. And like I said, this is not a script. We're not just parroting back things. And the pause really makes a difference. In fact, it's not a bad idea to look at the second hand on a clock and pay attention to how many seconds you actually wait. Because 5 seconds can feel like a minute, and they need time to process. All right. So we have this 5-to-1 rule talking about waiting. And in the connection reset and just in conversation in general, think about having your tween talk for 5 minutes for every 1 minute that you talk. Sort of this 5-to-1 ratio. And this is where looking at the clock, it can make a big difference. I remember deliberately looking at the clock, and when I did, we had better conversations because I kept my lips zipped. I just offered some prompts, like curiosity prompts, ended the question to get them to keep talking. It actually works. It actually works. So on this page here, the connection reset framework, it says your job is to notice, ask a curious question, repeat their words, wait. Your job is not to fill the silence or guess what they're thinking, or here's my personal favorite, jump in with solutions. It's easy to jump in with solutions. Explain. Or defend. So the magic happens in the pauses. Kids seem to need quite a bit of time to process things. And I found in talking with my girls later, as they matured, and having actual conversations about having conversations, and I'd say, well, I need time to process things. So if they are being silent, it might not be that they're, you know, ignoring you or not trying to have the conversation. There's probably lots going on in their brain and they're trying to figure out, okay, how do I say this? Now, before we get to the scenarios, are there any questions? Let me know in the chat any questions, and if not, we're going to move forward. Excellent, thank you. Into these scenarios. So I said we had four scenarios: the shutdown, the overwhelm, the deflection, and the comparison. So let's see, you may see yourself and your tween in these situations. So this first one, I don't want to do school today, it's boring. When your kid says that, what do you do? What do you normally say or do? And then here's how we can change that using the connection reset. So we could say, I noticed that you're not really feeling school today. Then we're going to get curious. What's going on? They say, I don't know. You repeat, don't know. And then remember this 5-to-1 rule. We're going to let them talk. Now they might say, I don't care about any of this. Now, instead of getting into a lecture about why they should care, because as the adult and you see what they need for their future, et cetera, et cetera, you just repeat back the last couple of words. So they say, I just don't care about any of this. You say, any of this? And then you just wait. And maybe they say, like, why does it even matter? Now we've discovered something. This isn't actually about boredom. It's about a need for relevance. They want their work to mean something. They want to be more autonomous. And now you can solve the real problem. You can have a conversation about why they need to study the subject, how it relates to something that they enjoy. Maybe give them more input on how they are learning it. But we went from, I don't know, to actually getting to the root of the problem. And now it's solvable. And now we have some connection. Now we're on the same side instead of like pulling against each other. give me a thumbs up, happy face, something in the chat if that makes sense for scenario number one, this shutdown. All right, next one. And in your workbook, you'll see a section here for your situation. And you can look at these after our workshop today and work through them and take some time to reflect and think about how you might do things different. Okay, scenario number two, the overwhelm. This is too much. This is too much. So now imagine your kid is staring at their assignment. They are frozen. They're like, this is too much. Now, you might normally push and say, you can totally do this. It's not too much. Or you take their stuff away and say, well, you're not getting this until it's done. I know this I've seen multiple times. Parents posting about this and saying, you know, I took their phone away and I took this away and I took that away and they're still not doing their work. Are they overwhelmed? Maybe. So let's go through this connection reset and you can think about what do you normally say or do and let's see about what we could do instead. So I see you're looking at this. I see you looking at this and it seems like it's a lot. Well, they've just told you this is too much and you're just verifying that. You're noticing, you're giving a statement. And then you're going to get curious. What feels too much about it? Now, this could be very easy to come across as snarky. So, even as I'm saying it, I'm like, did I get the tone right? Because sometimes we think, oh, our kids should be able to get this. Like, it's easy, isn't it? So it's like, well, what feels like it's too much? Instead of that, that's going to shut them down. We want that curiosity tone, you know, with that inflection at the end. So what feels too much about it? Or you could simply say, so it feels like a lot? Or what makes it feel like a lot? And then they might say, I don't know. It just is. Because here's the thing, when they are in these middle school years, and remember their brain is still rewiring, forming all of this, they might not know how to articulate why this seems like a lot. They're just overwhelmed. So it's our job as parents to help them figure out what's causing the overwhelm. So then you might repeat, okay, it just is. And you're like, it just is? And then you wait. And remember that 5-to-1 rule? So we're not filling the silence with suggestions. And then maybe they'll continue and say, I don't even know where to start. And as soon as you get to that little nugget of truth underneath, now you have something you can work with to fix the overwhelm. Because you can help them figure out where to start or how to figure out where to start. And then that will reduce that overwhelm. And in the meantime, you have built some connection. So this is not defiance. It's lack of executive function skills to break the big project into small steps. Now you can help them, which is why in March we're going to tackle organization in our March workshop. So think about it. When has your kid seemed overwhelmed? And what might have been really going on? Just think about it for a minute. All right, scenario number three. And again, there's a reflection page in your workbook. So I invite you after the workshop to take time to think through how does this actually work with your kid in your situation and what could you do differently? The deflection. Why do I even need to know this? This is a big one. As the parent, you can see the big picture. You have the life experience. You've had the struggles, and you know why what they're learning is important. They don't see that. They don't see that. They just, like, why do I even need to know this? When am I ever going to need to use this? I remember, I remember specifically a day, it's in high school even, high school math. And I wanted to pass math. I wanted to do the work, but I was like, I need to connect this with something. When am I ever going to use this? And I wasn't being defiant or snarky. I wanted to know for real. And actually, the answer in that case was like, you probably won't use this. And sometimes that is the answer. Excuse me. And that's okay. Sometimes it's like, well, you might not use it directly, but it is helping you grow your brain so you're able to do things in a more logical fashion. It is helping you persevere. So there's like more skills than just the subject. But think about what you normally do when your kid says, well, why do I even need to know this? Maybe you defend. Maybe you just say, well, you just do. And you shut it down, and it becomes more of that, what you get in elementary school, where it's just like, just do the thing. And then sometimes, I don't know, have you ever done this? You know, they want to know, and you're getting frustrated, and you just say, because I said so. And if you keep arguing about it, you're going to do extra work. Now, I don't want to call you out, but if you've ever said that and you feel like you want to let me know in the chat, so I don't feel alone in having done that, feel free. But as parents, I think some of this work in middle school with our middle schooler, it's refining for us. At least that's what I found. But let's get back to this connection reset. Okay, think about what you normally say and do. And then here's what we're going to do with this connection reset. We're going to validate. So we're going to give a statement. You're wondering why this matters. And it's just statement of fact. And then we're getting curious. What made you think about that today? And they might say, it's just so pointless. So then you can repeat, pointless. And then you wait. Remember the 5-to-1 rule? Because their brain is busy processing. And so then they might say, well, I already know how to write. Why do I need grammar exercises? So now we understand the root. This isn't being disrespectful. They need some autonomy. They need some input on what feels valuable. We can address that. They still need to do the grammar exercises. It doesn't take that away. But now we can talk about how they are feeling about that and how we can connect it to something that is significant for them so they can see the purpose in what they're doing. So what does your kid question the most? Like, what might they be really asking for? What might they be really asking for? And again, you have a page for reflection. Now, let's move on to comparison. Here we are, the comparison. Let me know if your kid has ever said this. My friend doesn't have to do this much work or whatever. My friend doesn't have to fill in the blank. Why do I? this idea that, you know, their parent is so much nicer because they don't have to do the things that your kid has to do. Have you ever had that kind of situation where your kid is saying, they don't have to, so why do I? Maybe you normally dismiss it and you say, like, I don't care what your friend does or doesn't do. And then you shut it down. So now there's no connection. There's no conversation about it. You just, like, shut it down. That's too bad. Get to work. And again, as I'm going through these and I'm thinking about scenarios through those middle school years, as I was through trial and error learning this connection reset, many times inadvertently shutting down a conversation. So I really hope this is helping you see how you can keep those conversations open, keep that connection, find the real problem so you can work through things, build this relational foundation so you don't have those awful teen years. And you can enjoy the time you have with your kid. All right, comparison. So step one, we are going to notice. Sounds like you're feeling you have more on your plate. Or some variation of that. You know, sounds like, and then a paraphrase of what they mentioned to you. And then we're going to step two, get curious. So what made you think about that? Like, why are they talking about their friend right now? And then step three, when they're like, I don't know, she just doesn't have to do all of this. So now we're going to repeat. So we're reflecting back to them. She doesn't have to do all of this. And then we wait. Remember the 5 to 1? And you wait, and you might look at the clock and go, okay, are they going to say something? Well, yeah, she just gets to choose what she wants to learn. She can do whatever she wants. Okay, so now, again, you've discovered this isn't actually about the friend. This is about autonomy. This is about ownership. And now you can give them appropriate input. Now you can have that conversation and solve the actual problem. In your workbook, there's a page for reflection. So go ahead and think about those things. You can take time later on to think about those things. Now, those were the four. Those were our four scenarios. Now let's talk about I don't know, because this comes up a lot in every scenario. Most conversations die at I don't know, because as parents, we either give up and say, fine, whatever, because we just take it in as they're just having an attitude, or like I sometimes did, you know, all of a sudden you fill the silence with all these suggestions. Or you get frustrated and so you give consequences, thinking that consequences are going to be the way for them to figure out this thing that they don't know, or at least tell us what it is. But instead, we want to do the four things, right? Repeat the words with curiosity. We're going to wait. Count to 10 in your head if you need to. And we're trusting the pause because they're processing. They're not necessarily stonewalling, especially if we're coming at the conversation with curiosity. So keep the 5 to 1 ratio and let them fill the space. We're not filling the space. So if you're filling in the blanks as we go, that's what it is. Repeat the words with curiosity. You don't know. We're going to count to 10. And they're processing, not stonewalling, and let them fill the space. Why does this work? Why does this work? Okay. I don't know doesn't mean the conversation is over. Okay. It is an invitation to explore further. So what are you going to do the next time your middle schooler says, I don't know? Okay. We're going to use that connection reset back here. Repeat back with curiosity. Wait. Trust the pause. And then move forward with the conversation. So what has been your biggest aha? We've just gone through four scenarios. Did you see yourself in any of those four scenarios? Let me know in the chat. Did you see yourself in any of those four scenarios? Maybe. Maybe it looked a little bit different. The pause and wait is really helpful. Yeah, it's the hardest part, I find, anyway. Maybe you already have patience and the pause and wait is not difficult for you. But that, I think, is the biggest thing that is going to help things move forward. Thank you for sharing. So in your book, you're going to see a page that says your way forward. And this is a page that you can use to reflect as you move forward. What are you going to do different this week? What scenario will you likely face? And then you can jot some notes to yourself. I know sometimes when I was learning a new framework, I would repeat it to myself. I would think of some scenarios. And then as soon as one of those scenarios came up, then I was like, oh, yes, I was going to say this. And so I would just say it and it would be an imperfect interaction, but it would be the start of change. And I hope that you'll do the same as well. Because your middle schooler does not need you to be perfect. They need you to be willing to try something different, to listen, to be curious. And when you mess up, apologize, move forward. It's part of this messy middle school. Now, on the next page, you'll see a connection reset tracker. If you're one of the kinds of people that likes tracking things, maybe you've got tracking apps on your phone, or you like to have like a streak of things where you check off every day, you can use this as a way to just jot yourself a couple of notes to trigger a reminder, you know, what happened? What did you ask? What did you discover? What shifted? And even if you track it for a week or two, you'll start to notice the patterns, and as you become more aware, then you can start to shift to using that connection reset, that framework, and continue to build connection with your middle schooler. Now, when you use the connection reset, some things are going to get better right away. All of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, that got solved easily. Other things might take more time, and that is okay. But as you go through, and if you have these, you know, four different scenarios playing out in your day to day as you're going head to head with homeschooling and your schoolwork, you're going to start to discover some deeper issues. Things like how disorganized they are. They don't know how to plan their work. And you finally figured that out because you did the connection reset. You went through those four steps and you got to the root of the problem. Maybe they don't know how to follow through. They need some systems. Maybe they need help with time management, help prioritizing, breaking a big task into smaller steps. Maybe they need help with some of that. But connection opens the door to discovering those root problems. But then you need tools for the next level. Like, okay, so how are we going to address some of those things? Which is why in March, we're going to do an organization workshop. It is how to help your middle schooler get organized without taking over. Without taking over, giving them more autonomy and helping them do it in a way where they can be successful at being organized. And that is a skill that is learned over time. We're going to talk about that in March. You can register right now. I have the page up for it. tweentalk.co/workshop-March. So you can go there right now to register. It is free for the live workshop and a free 48-hour replay if you cannot make the workshop. So go ahead and register for that right away. You won't want to miss that. Before we end our session, thank you, Shelley. Before we end our session, we are just at the end, ready to wrap up. But do you have any questions before we sign off for today? Any questions at all? Otherwise, we will continue on with our day. Let me know in the chat. No questions. Comprehensive. Okay. Thank you very much. I want to thank you for attending. If you are watching this on the replay, thank you for watching. I hope it has been helpful. And I wish you all the best as you are using this connection reset to build better connection, to reduce those schoolwork struggles with your middle schooler. And I hope to see you in March when we talk about organization.